I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
I shared a part of this testimony already, but I'll share that part again because some people weren't here, and then I'll share the second testimony. Amen. Amen. All right, so my testimony is that about a month ago, I lost my job, and when I lost my job, I felt really discouraged. I actually just, like, I didn't want to look for another job. I just felt like, you know something, maybe it's not working out for me. Maybe I've chosen the wrong career. But I spoke with Apostle Joel, our pastor, about how I've lost my job. And he encouraged me and he told me that he's traveling out of the country. And before he comes back, I will have a new job. And I say this to the glory of God that before he got back, I actually had a job offer. Amen. And it was actually even a better offer than what I was doing before. Like, so much better. The job is, like, so, so much better. And and actually, my second testimony is that I've been working there for, like, a month now. And my second testimony is that, you know, like, when I was at my previous company, like, they gave me, like, a really bad report, a review, right? Like, oh, like, I wasn't doing my job well, you know? And actually, at this job, I've been surprised. Like, every other day, my boss tells me, good job. And, like, actually, last week, he said to me, he said, you know what I like about you? You actually get things done. And you're not like other people who just don't get things. And I was like, wow, me. Somebody like me. Because, like, I know myself, I'm really laid back. I'm really phlegmatic. Somebody like me, you know. And Apostle actually told me one thing when I had lost my job. He said that, because I was telling him the things they had said about me. And he said, that's only one person's opinion of you. And I've seen that it's true, that we should never, you know, let just one person's opinion affect us, but rather believe in what the Word of God says. And even more importantly, I just want to encourage everybody that, like, we should believe in the pastor that God has given us, and he's really a prophet. And the words that he says when he talks to us, when he counsels us, we should take it seriously. We should take it to prayer, and God will surprise us. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful Resurrection Sunday. We rejoice today because it is through resurrection that we get to be resurrected from our dead lives. Because resurrection has given us power over death and power over dead things, O God, in our lives. We thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. And thank you, O God, for saving us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege of being washed by the blood of the Lamb. We are grateful to you today. We ask, O God, that anyone here today who is not washed by the blood of Jesus will be washed by the blood before the service is over. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We pray that we will all take advantage of such a wonderful, amazing, unparalleled provision as made by you for the redemption of mankind. Thank you, Lord, for this fantastic blessing in the name of Jesus. We pray that in the short time that we look into the Word, that you will open our eyes to see wondrous things. Lord, that you will speak to us, you will minister to us, that you will encourage us and strengthen us. Place us on a solid foundation in the name of Jesus. Bless our time in your word in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. High five two more people and say, wow, you look good this Easter Sunday. Hallelujah. And then you may be seated, please. Amen. Right. Now, today is Resurrection Sunday. Amen. And Resurrection Sunday is probably the most important day on the Christian calendar. Hallelujah. Well, sometimes we think it is the birth of Jesus Christ. Other times we think it is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Both of them are important. Amen. Because without the birth, we will not have the death. Isn't it? Both are very important, but especially for your faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a foundational truth that holds and keeps your faith together. Amen. Amen. It is what makes Christianity make sense. Without resurrection, Christianity immediately is watered down to the level of any other religion or any other pursuit of man, of God by man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Christianity is distinguished from every other faith because of this one fact of the resurrection. Amen.
Amen.
You know, someone sent me a video clip of a man who was trying to explain resurrection, and the person was explaining that he doesn't understand why people cannot believe in Jesus. He said that if you are walking on a road and the road suddenly kind of forks up like that and you're not sure whether to turn to the left or keep to the right, but then you at that junction, at that right there, at that intersection, you see two men lying on the ground or on the floor, and one of them is dead, the other one is alive. Which one would you ask for directions?
Wow.
The one that is alive. Wow. So if Jesus is alive, then he's the one we must follow. Hallelujah. It's no wonder that he says, I am the way. Hallelujah. You don't make such bold claims for nothing. Says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Hallelujah. Let me read this verse or passage with you before I actually get into my message for today. Amen.
Amen.
So 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the resurrection chapter of the Bible. Amen. And I'm going to read to you from verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Amen. He said, this is what I preached, this is what you received, and this is the foundation of your faith. Amen. This is where you stand. Verse 2, he says, by which ye are saved, keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Hallelujah. He said, this message, this gospel message that I preached to you, right, which is what you are standing on, is the basis for your salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Now, every Christian needs to be a firm believer and has to have a firm grasp of this truth, Because that's the foundation of salvation. Hallelujah. Now, he says that you need to keep it in memory. Amen. What I preached unto you. Now, verse 3. He said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know, the easy way to become a preacher is to preach what you preach to. Amen. Whatever was preached to you, just preach the same thing. That is how to be a preacher. Amen. So he said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Shalom, something is going on with my thing. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the gospel. Can you save me from this situation,
please?
Okay, so
I'm going to try to have the two with my friend as a backup. All right? Okay. So, he said that he was buried. Well, I received unto you, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. You know, sometimes when you try to explain the gospel too much, then you start messing up. Are you getting what I'm saying? You start saying things you shouldn't be saying. You start telling, you know, people don't need to be coerced into salvation. Do you understand? A person doesn't have to be coerced into salvation. You don't have to make someone believe something that is not true just for the purposes of them getting saved. Because then their salvation is based on falsehood. It's based on something that is not real. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, it's amazing how we can tell people, come to church or come to Jesus, he will give you money. Now, this is not the first interest of Christ in your life. Christ is not, first of all, interested in making you rich. That's not the first interest that Christ has in a person's life. Hallelujah. So it is important that salvation is founded and based on the truth. Hallelujah. It must be solidly planted on the truth. Everyone who is in Christ must follow and be in Christ on this simple basis that you were once a sinner and that God reached out to you while you were in your sins by sending Jesus Christ to die for you. He died, he was buried, he rose again, and that is where your salvation lies. Can I have an amen? Now, it doesn't have to sound interesting. It doesn't have to sound appealing. It just has to be accepted by you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Right? So if you do anything outside of this simple thing that God has given us, then you start to complicate the gospel. You start to need more explanations. You start to have to or need to have to say and explain more things, you know. And no wonder you have a lot of people who flock into churches and so on, and their faith is so weak and shallow, they cannot stand anything, they cannot endure temptation, they cannot, you know, be around for a long time in the faith, they cannot serve God consistently, because the foundation is not good. The foundation is on some kind of candy, you know, that cannot withstand hard and difficult and challenging times. Hallelujah. So Paul said, look, let your faith be based on this very simple truth. And the simple truth, he says, I deliver to you, first of all, what I also received, and how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And there is no sugarcoating of that. Christ died for our sins. Christ did not die a natural death. Christ did not die because of his crimes. Christ did not die because he had committed a crime, he had stolen something, he was not sentenced to death for any crimes. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Can I have an amen? Christ died for our sins, right? And he says, and how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This is the gospel. Amen. This is the gospel. Any kind of preaching of the gospel or an attempt to share the gospel with someone or share Christ with someone which does not mention these elements, you know, you are not putting the person's faith on something solid. Do you understand? You're putting the person's faith on something that is not solid. The person is going to have to believe a whole lot of other things and need so much other explanation to keep standing if they will at all. Hallelujah. But this is what we need to believe, and this is what we need to accept. This is what was given to us, and that's what we must continue to walk in. That Christ died for our sins, not according to some pastor, but according to the scriptures. Can I have an amen? And that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Verse 5, that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. Hallelujah. Amen. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Hallelujah. See, this is one of the reasons why people see visions of Christ. I pray that one day I'll see a vision of Christ. When you're praying for me, I hope you pray for me, by the way. All right, even if you don't, start today. Amen. And I'm giving you the topic. When you're praying for me, pray that one day I will see Christ. Do you understand? That one day I'll come to church and in the course of my preaching, I'll say, you know, last week I had a vision and I saw Jesus Christ. It will make even your faith in the preaching change, you know. It will help you, not only me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But you see, one of the reasons why God has continued to reveal himself to people, you know, is this very reason. Because it's not just the fact that Christ is risen from the dead, but that after he is risen from the dead, he was actually seen by people. Do you understand? So then Apostle Paul goes through a list of people who were alive at the time that Christ rose, you know, and said he revealed himself to this person and to that person and to this person and to that person. Then he, Paul, who was not around, he said, last of all, also to me. Do you understand? That the fact that I have seen Jesus alive means that Christ did resurrect from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because when people die and are buried, that is the end of them. No one sees them anywhere. Hallelujah. But when Christ died, he rose again and evidently revealed himself to people. Hallelujah. Now he says, for verse 9, I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. He said, I don't qualify to be called an apostle because I was a really bad guy, you know. But God is merciful. How God can make people who are really bad into preachers of the same thing that they committed. Paul was someone who persecuted the church, and God turns him around and makes him a promoter of the church. So when you see someone who makes trouble for the church and makes trouble for Christians and says a lot of things about pastors and says a lot of bad things about churches and so on, one of the prayers you can pray for them is that God will make him into a builder of what he has destroyed. Do you understand? God will change him and make him use that gift of talking and saying bad things. Make him use that gift to say good things about the church of God. Say amen. So, he said, I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, when you start to see the effect of grace on your life, there is only one appropriate response. When you start to see what God has done in your life, that you can attribute to the grace of God. Because there are many things that happen that you can see clearly that there can only be one explanation for what I am experiencing or for what I am seeing around me or for the life I'm living. Hallelujah. And that one explanation is just that God has been gracious to me. Hallelujah. Many of us, if we're going to be honest, do not deserve some of the goodness we are experiencing. We do not deserve some of the good things that have happened to us. We do not deserve some of the blessings we have received, some of the blessings we are living with, some of the people we know we shouldn't know them. Some of the people who have shown us kindness shouldn't be showing us kindness. Yet God has been gracious to us. And when you do recognize the grace of God in your life, you do recognize that God has been gracious to you. There is only one appropriate response. That appropriate response is to give yourself to him and to labor abundantly for him. Can I have an amen? To work very hard for God. To apply yourself very hard to the things of God. I mean, this guy who's writing these things, he was whipped. He had shipwrecks. He found himself in the ocean. He fell among thieves. He said he had false brethren. I mean, people who tricked him, you know, people who behaved like they were believers. And then when he trusted them, they swindled him. You know, he went through all sorts of things, but he always measured his sufferings against the grace that he had received. And he always felt that it was still worth it. That the net effect was still positive. That his sufferings, or his grace minus his sufferings, still left him with a positive balance. Hallelujah. Amen. So Paul was always grateful to the Lord. And he said, the grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Let me ask you a question. The grace that has been bestowed upon you, has it been in vain? Because what is, when you say something is in vain, it means there is no benefit or there is no profit to the one who gave it. So the grace that God bestowed on you and I, what is coming to God for that grace? Paul said that, you know, the grace that God put on me was not in vain. And the proof of it was my labor. He said, I labored more abundantly than they all. And he says, yet it was not I, but the grace which was with me. Hallelujah. Yeah. So I want to encourage you on this Resurrection Sunday. You have received grace. Amen. Amen. You have received grace. You have received grace. That is why you are alive today. If God was to deal with us according to what we deserve, then none of us would be here. That is the truth. Even the ones who are looking at me quietly and with a straight face, even you would not deserve to be here. Are you getting what I'm saying? The most righteous ones among us would still not deserve to be here. His grace is what has qualified us all to be here in his presence. Say amen. Wow. So he says, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, says some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Right? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching, or then is our preaching vain. And your faith also is vain. Hallelujah. Yeah. So the foundation of Christianity is this element of Christ having risen from the dead. And he says, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then number one, Christ is not risen. It's not true that Christ is risen from the dead. And if Christ is not risen from the dead, then your faith, your believing is in vain. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So any faith that does not have someone who has risen from the dead is in vain. It's a vain faith. It's a vain religion if it does not have someone who is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Your believing is in vain. Hallelujah. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Hallelujah. So what he's saying is that if it is not true, then we are also false preachers. Do you understand? Yeah, we are false witnesses of God because we have testified that God has raised Christ up when he has not raised him up. Right? For if the dead rise not, verse 16, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Right? Ye are yet in your sins. If Christ is not raised, then your faith in Christ is in vain. And if your faith in Christ is in vain, it means your sins are intact. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It means nothing happened to your sins. It means your sins are still there. It means you are as bad as you have ever been. Wow. Verse 18, it says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. That means there is no hope for any Christian who dies. See, these are the foundational elements of the Christian faith. And this is what must give Christians hope. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is what must give Christians hope. One of the things Christians believe is that when a Christian dies, you can expect to see him again someday. Do you understand? Yes. As funny as it sounds, that is what you are supposed to believe. That is the foundation of our faith. That every Christian who dies, because as long as we are on this earth, we're going to die someday. Nobody lives on this earth forever. Hallelujah. Our bodies are not designed to be here forever. Our bodies at some point will not be fit to be here anymore. Do you understand? It would have expired. Its lifespan in this place would have come to an end. Do you understand? So this is not what God promised us. It's not just here, but also what happens after here. But for what happens after here to happen, then resurrection has to be true. Do you understand? Yeah. There has to be a part of you that will be raised up even after you are dead. Hallelujah. Amen. And he says in verse 18, then they also which are falling asleep in Christ are perished. Right? And verse 19, and if in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we are of all men most miserable. Wow. Wow. If it is only in this life, if it is only what God can do for you here on earth, if it is for only that, that we are believing in the Lord, then the Bible says we are of all men most miserable. Hallelujah. So a miserable Christian is a Christian who cannot see beyond this life. A miserable Christian is a Christian who cannot see beyond this physical life. A miserable Christian is one who cannot believe that though we may die, we will live again one day, because Christ died and rose up from the dead to give us that one message that there is resurrection of the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So he's the first example of what happens to dead people. Can you understand that? For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Hallelujah. Amen. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. Do you understand that? He says he has put all things under his feet. Right? He has put all things under his feet. And he says, but when he says that he has put all things under him, right, it is manifest, means it is obvious that he is accepted which put all things under him. Do you understand that? Means the one who put all things under him is not under him. Does it make sense? Right? The one. So all things are under him except the one who put all things under him. All right? Right? And verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject to him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Hallelujah. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, right? Why are they baptized then? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? What he's saying is, for all my effort, you know, and he's talking about how he fought with people like beasts. Yeah. He fought to defend the church and to fight to keep the church going and to fight and to press on. And he said, after doing all those things, if there is no resurrection of the dead, what is the whole point? So the resurrection of the dead, the fact that one day you will rise again, must be the fuel for your Christian life. It must be the encouragement for doing the things we do. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It must be the power behind what we do. Not that people are going to clap for you. No. It is the resurrection of the dead. One day you will stand up before the Lord. That is what must control and direct how we live our lives on earth.
whether you are a believer or an unbeliever. Hallelujah. Because it's a resurrection of the dead. Everybody will rise up. Hallelujah. Everybody will rise up. And Paul is saying that, look, it is because we are going to rise up that I do what I do. And if there is no rising up of the dead, then what is the point of my struggle? What is the point? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What verse is that? Verse 32, right? And it says, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Yeah, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then this is it. Then this is it. This is it. Eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. It means that you are just like a piece of chicken, isn't it? Yeah. Eat and drink, tomorrow you die. Yeah. But there has to be more to life than that. He said, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That means associating with the wrong people is affecting your faith. And it's affecting the things you believe. Right? Yeah. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come forth? Because we know we buried the person and we know that his body has decomposed. So if you say the dead are rising up, with what body are they rising up? And Paul's answer, thou fool. Right? Yeah, instead of saying good question. He said, thou fool, foolish question. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it dies. Do you understand? That anything you plant, anything you put in the ground has to decompose before the life in it actually rises. Can you understand that? Yeah. That's why he said you're asking a foolish question. And then he said, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it pleaseth him, and to every seed his own body. Do you understand what he's saying? Yeah, he's saying that what you plant is not what rises up. What rises up out of the ground doesn't have the body of what you put there. It loses its body to the ground, but God gives it life and gives it a new body. Look, these are spiritual things that you have to understand. Hallelujah. Most seeds that you plant look very different from the fruit that comes out of it. What you put in the ground and what you end up getting from what you put in the ground look very different from each other. Hallelujah. So he's explaining that, look, God gives it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Then he says in verse 40, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Now we are going into realms. So he's saying there are more bodies than the type you are familiar with. Hallelujah. So when he says, I say that the dead will rise again, and you're asking me with what body? He said, don't be silly. Not all flesh is the same. Can you not see that fish flesh is different from human flesh, is different from animal flesh? Now that's just, he's showing that there are grades of flesh
different kinds of flesh. But it doesn't end with human flesh. There is also celestial and terrestrial. It's also another level, another kind of body that you can have. Right. And he said the glory of one is different from the other. In other words, what makes one beautiful is different from the other. You see, when you say this fish is beautiful, you obviously mean something different from when you say this girl is beautiful.
Absolutely.
If it has to mean the same thing, we have to start looking for her skills. Do you understand? So what he's saying is that fish are beautiful in a different way. Do you understand? Animals are beautiful in a different way, and human beings are beautiful in a different way. And in the same way, celestial bodies and their glory is different even from terrestrial bodies. They are also beautiful in a different way. Hallelujah. I wish you weren't understanding what I'm saying. Then it will feel more like we're in a spiritual atmosphere. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. Does that make sense? He says, when you say it's a beautiful moon, it's different from the sun, isn't it? Yes. Especially when you're in love, you seem to have new eyes and eye lenses for appreciation of the moon. It's a beautiful night. It's as dark as all nights, but when you're in love, you can somehow see that there's something about tonight. You know, it looks and feels kind of cool. Yeah. Because of what is in your eyes. There's love in your eyes. Hallelujah. So he said in verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written. The first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Amen. Do you understand that? Right? He's saying that the first man, that is, you know, first of all, he's tracing the whole thing back and saying that the way it's born, you know, is not the way it will rise up. Right? The way it is sown or the way it is buried is not the way it will rise up. Right? And then he explains that, you know, so let me look, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. That means it is it goes down as a body that can decompose, right? But then it is raised in incorruption. It comes up as a body that cannot decompose, right? It is sown in weakness. That is a body that is subject to all sorts of weaknesses, all sorts of passions, and all kinds of problems. But it is raised in power. Hallelujah. It is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. Because there is a natural body, and there is also a spiritual body. And then he said, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul.
right? The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. He's drawing a parallel between Adam, original Adam, and then Christ. Hallelujah. Because Christ is called the second Adam. Hallelujah. Right. Now he says in verse 46, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. So the first man is of the earth, right? Earthy. The second man is Lord from heaven. Remember, Adam was made from, right? So the first man is from the earth. And the second man, he is not from the earth. Do you understand? The second man is not from the earth. He's from heaven. Hallelujah. Right? Then he says, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. That means all of us are human. All of us are like that first one. Right? Then he says, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So right now, all of us have the image of the earthy. That is why all of us, when we die and are put in the ground, are subject to decomposition. Do you understand? But he's saying that since we are subject to that first part, we will also be partakers of the second part. Do you understand? Since we have become partakers of the first part, have been buried and we have become decomposed, he says that we will also rise up a heavenly body and be like the heavenly man. Hallelujah. So we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. That means you cannot go to heaven with this, your body. Hallelujah. You cannot go to heaven with this, your body. Right? That is good news. You get it? I'm going to leave my belly behind. In heaven, I can expect to have a new look. Yeah, and if God gives me the choice, I'm going to go for like a 12-pack. Yeah. One pack for the earth. It's called Unipack. All the packs come together and they form one pack. That's for the earth. When I go to heaven, I'm going to ask God, you know, Lord, as you're sharing the packs, may I have 12, please? Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Then he said, behold, I show you a mystery. You know, so it's not strange if it's not easily understandable. Hallelujah. But that is also part of following God. That there are mysteries when you follow God. There are things that you cannot understand. There are many things you just have to accept. You have to believe. God is more impressed by what we believe than by what we understand. A person who believes is of a higher caliber before God than a person who understands. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, he said that Thomas, one of the disciples, he told Jesus Christ that, bring your hand, I want to see. You know, because people had told him that Jesus Christ had resurrected from the dead. He said, no, I'm not going to believe such a fable. He said, unless I see him with my eyes and I, you know, the rest of the disciples, they saw Christ and they said, oh, yes, we accept. Thomas said, no, for me, I want to put my hand in the hole. I want to feel the hole.
You know? So when he finally met Jesus Christ, Jesus gave him the opportunity. Then he bowed and said, "My Lord and my God." You know? And instead of saying congratulations to him, Jesus said to him, "Blessed are those who haven't seen, but yet they believe." Amen. Do you get it? That it's a higher level. It's a higher level to believe when you haven't seen. Amen. That is why angels are impressed with us. Because they can see that we live in this earth and have no glimpse into glory. And our only connection to the things we believe is just faith. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. That we actually can believe all the things we believe about heaven. We haven't seen anything. Hallelujah. Amen. Your faith is impressive to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So he said, "Let me tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Amen. That means not everybody will die before Jesus comes. Because if Jesus comes today, which he could, our service may not even finish before Jesus comes. Do you get it? Your lunch that you have made, many of you would like Jesus to hold on maybe up to 6 p.m. by that time you would have eaten. Say, "Lord, please, the chicken that I baked this morning, oh Lord, please hold it until at least 6 p.m. You know, but what I'm saying is that, you see, the Bible says there will be some people alive when Jesus comes. So not everybody will be dead, but everybody dead or alive will be changed. Do you see what I'm saying? So he says, "We shall all be changed. For this corruptible," that means our body, this corruptible body, "must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality." Hallelujah. To go to heaven, an immortal part of you must go to heaven. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, an immortal part of you is the part that will go to heaven. Not this mortal part of you. You understand? When you get to heaven, you're not going to be sick. Because there's no part of you that can actually be sick. Hallelujah. There's no part of you in heaven that can have hypertension or that can have high cholesterol or high blood pressure, you know, diabetes, all these funny, funky names, you know, of diseases that we struggle with here on earth. They are associated with this corruptible body. They are actually agents of the corruption. They facilitate the corruption. They make the corruption possible. All those things will be left behind. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then he said in verse 54, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Amen. So can you see how we're going to defeat death? We're going to defeat death by changing the body that death can attack.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're going to have a new body that is death-proof.
Amen.
Do you understand? We're going to have a body that death cannot affect. Yeah. So he says, when this happens, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Hallelujah. Yes. So a day is coming. That is why he said death is the last enemy that will be conquered. Because that enemy, when he is conquered by our immortality. When God gives us the body that cannot be affected by germs, cannot be affected by bacteria, cannot be affected by anything that is found here on earth, then that prophecy will come to pass. death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Because as far as we are concerned on this earth, death is the only thing that human beings have not been able to conquer. Death is the only thing that happens to 100% of people. Death is the only thing that happens to everyone, regardless of their age, their race, their gender. I mean, you talk about a true equal opportunities policy, you know, no one left behind. Death is the only thing that can make such a claim. Sometimes the government offices make all these claims and it's not true. They say equal opportunities, but it's not equal opportunities. But as for death, when he says equal opportunities, genuine equal opportunities, rich man, poor man, old man, young man, sick man, even healthy man. Yeah. That is why they even have, you know, organ donor programs. Yeah, because some people are perfectly healthy and they die. And it's so tragic and so unfortunate that we just try to harvest their body parts and so on and try to use them as spare parts in other people just to because the heart is still young. Do you understand? The lungs, the kidneys, I mean, different parts, and we'll just be sharing different parts of the body all over the place because the person is perfectly healthy. He should not be dying, but he's dead. Because death equal opportunities. Hallelujah. Rich will die, poor will die. Men will die, women will die. Young people, old people, everybody just dies. Hallelujah. So he said, at that point, we'll be singing, death, where is your sting? And grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Then he closes with this fantastic verse in 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. Clap for Apostle Paul for such a powerful letter. Hallelujah. He said, if you know all this, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? I would have thought that, therefore, my beloved brethren, sing a lot in the church. Is that what he says? Therefore, my beloved brethren, give a lot of offerings. No. Therefore, my beloved brethren, pray a lot. No, that's not what he's saying. He said, rather, because of all this, because of the prospect of resurrection, the fact that one day you will lay down this body and rise up in another form. He said, because of that, what you're supposed to do is to be steadfast and unmovable. You have to be stable. That's number one. Hallelujah. On Resurrection Sunday, what must come to mind is how stable am I? You have to be stable in the Lord. Be steadfast, be unmovable. Unmovable by friends, unmovable by jobs, unmovable by distance, unmovable by separation, unmovable by all the things that seem to move us. Too many of us shift and move too quickly. Our faith in the Lord is so fickle and so wishy-washy and so light. It lacks substance. It cannot hold up for any significant length of time. But he said, we have to be steadfast and we have to be unmovable. Can I have an amen? We have to be steadfast and immovable. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes you even feel weary. Sometimes you wonder if it's even worth it. But Paul said that you have to be steadfast and you have to be unmovable. Don't let anything move you. And look at who is saying it. This is someone who has been whipped. Think about it. If God can't deliver you from being whipped, why do you even have to follow him? Yes. But Paul can still find reason to be faithful to a God who will not deliver him from being whipped. One time Paul was in a place. A prophet came to the place. The prophet took the person's jacket. He just found one of the jackets in the place. And he picked it up. And he said, he began to, you know, tie the jacket and just wrap something around it. Then after that, he said, whose jacket is this? He said, whoever owns this jacket, wherever he's going next, what I just did to this jacket is what will happen to the person. You see, if whose jacket is this? Yeah, Felix. You see, if I was preaching and then I suddenly grabbed this jacket. Felix, allow me to fold it, okay? So I just start to fold it and I start to, you know, then I start to crush it. And then I do that. Then I say, whoever owns this jacket, after service today, wherever he's going, this is what is going to happen to him. At the end of the service, this jacket will still be here. Because this is where the owner will part company with the jacket. Yeah. And when I ask, is this for you? He'll say, oh, no. No. It's not for me. I don't want this jacket anymore. But when they asked, whose jacket is it? Paul said, oh, prophet, excuse me, that's my jacket. And then the prophet says, they are going to tie you up. Are you aware of what I just said? That's a real prophecy. Apostle says, oh, no problem. Actually, where I'm going, I'm not only prepared to be tied, I'm prepared to die. So the tie, being tied up, that's just a small thing. So thank you for your prophecy anyway. But I'm not afraid of these kinds of things. Steadfast, unmovable. Yeah. These days you have all sorts of Christians. We are so weak in our faith. Someone says, well, if you go to church, I'm going to break up with you. All right, it's okay. I won't go to church. I'll pray in my room. I'll pray in my room. Movable, so easily moved. Your circumstances change a little, and so much has to change in your relationship with God. Because you had a flat tire last week, you won't pay your tithe anymore. So movable. You went to drive your car on these nails. Even when they said do not enter, you still entered. Now the thing has pierced your tire and you have a flat tire. Because of that, you don't want to pay your tithe anymore. Many people easily take anything difficult they had, they just take it out on their tithe. They say, Lord, you are paying for this. Yeah, this is your bill, Lord. This is your bill. I'm so easily movable. But the Bible says we must be steadfast. He said, if you believe in resurrection, it must stir up in you steadfastness. It must make you someone who really believes and continues to believe no matter what. Then he said, number two, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always. Always abounding. That means always heavily, deeply involved with the work of the Lord. Not the worship of the Lord. I'm talking about the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is different from worshiping the Lord. It's different from singing to the Lord. The work of the Lord is working for God. And if we were to go into the definition of work, you know, you define work by just look at the characteristics. That's how you know something is work. Yeah. Sometimes you hear someone say, hey, this thing is work. Huh? Yeah, this thing is work. Yeah. When they say this thing is work, it means that it's not just pleasure. It's gone beyond that. And it is because work has unique characteristics. It's repetitive. It wears you out, makes you tired, takes your time. I mean, anything that is work is going to demand and take something out of you. Yeah, they don't pay you for nothing. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's no one who pays you for just coming to sit around. Yeah. Hallelujah. Unless where the sitting around itself is the work. Yeah, because the other day I was at the airport, and when you're coming out of the airport, there is a place where they say when you cross that place, you can't come back. Now they need somebody whose work is to sit there, and I'm just thinking I can't do such a job. I don't know. Can you do that job? You have to sit there. Your shift is to sit, and you have to sit there and be staring at people. You'll be watching them and they don't greet you. They don't say anything. Neither can you read. Because if you're reading, you're not doing the job. Yeah, you're supposed to be watching the people. Hey, it must be very painful. That is why it has to be somebody's work. Yes, work is always painful. Work is always difficult. It always takes something out of you. And the Bible says, if you know that and believe in resurrection, one of the things you must do. Now, if you are steadfast, good. But in addition to that, you must always, always, always abound in the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he says, because you know, for as much as ye know, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a lot of work that we do that is in vain. Oh, yeah. Even sometimes you can see already that the work you're doing is useless. Yeah. It doesn't solve what it's supposed to solve. Yeah. But, well, it brings a paycheck, so you just continue to do it. Yes, you just continue to do it. It's you see, this thing is useless. And there's a lot of work that is totally useless. It's just useless. Yeah. But people have to do it because it has to be done. You get it? Yeah. Fry a lot of chicken from morning. Some people come and eat it. The next morning, you just come, release more chicken, just fry it. People come and eat it. The next morning, those who eat that chicken will just go home, go to the bathroom, and then your chicken is gone. Then the next day, more chicken. And just a useless cycle. But somebody has to do it. Hallelujah. But in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord. Listen, tell your neighbor, try to have some labor in the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I know that you're struggling and I know that your work really takes a lot out of you. You know, but most of it is useless. Most of it is useless. Most of it is useless. Yeah. See, sometimes my wife, you know, she goes to do her hair. And it takes a long time. Hey. When that day comes, you should see that it's like she's possessed. Hey. Get up early in the morning. She move the car and she'll just go for a long time. Then she'll come with some style. Hey, then I'm watching. And you just see week 1, week 2, week three. And she said, you know, I have to remove my hair. And I'm just thinking, this is somebody's labor. Somebody has been standing over her head and fixing this thing one after the other and doing it for a long time.
I like this message.
You're familiar with what I'm talking about. Yes. She just stands. Because you see, sometimes you see her scalp is itching. And she gives herself knocks. And I'm just watching her and I can see that no. She's not enjoying this thing. One time the thing is gone. And then I'm just looking at her. Labor is in vain. You don't know. You say, I'm a hair specialist. You don't know. Your labor is in vain. Yeah. Your labor is in vain. Yeah. There is no job on earth that is not in vain.
Oh, yeah.
There is no job on earth that is not in vain. Everything you do on earth is in vain. Temporarily put something in your mouth. But the essence of what you are doing, even somebody's job is to undo what you have done. That's somebody's job too. Or you don't know that. Yes. You see, you are Uber driver. You take somebody over here. Another person's job is to bring him back to where you... That's somebody lives. His whole existence is to bring him back to where you took him from. Yeah. Wow. To neutralize what you did. That is it. Yeah.
Wow.
So really the definition of work mostly is just doing and undoing. Yeah. Just doing and undoing. That's some people are doing, others are undoing. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people are making food we eat to make us sick. Then some people's job is to undo it. And then send us home to go and eat the same thing to make us sick again. But in the Lord, Mary, in the Lord, in the Lord, what you do because of God, Felix, it will never be in vain. One day your work for the Lord will be staring at you. It will rise up and be looking you in the face and say, well done, well done, well done. Well done, well done. Well done. Yeah, you thought it was nothing, not knowing it was everything. That was everything. Your labor in the Lord. Hallelujah. So have some labor in the Lord. Said, have some labor in the Lord. By all means, get tired for God. By all means, have some sleepless nights because of God. By all means, stay up late because of God. By all means, go travel distances because of God. Because in the end, that's what will count. All the things we are doing now, they're just toys and things we are playing with. Yeah. You see how there's some shops that have a playroom and you take your child there and they stay there and they build the things as though they're going to live there. Then soon comes the one who brought them there. And the person takes them without everything they have built. And of course, when they are going, they are crying. That's exactly the story of our lives. Somebody brought us here. And while he's brought us here, he's given us the opportunity to play with things. We are driving cars and we are building houses and, you know, practicing hobbies and doing different kinds of things. But there comes a day when that person who brought you just comes and he grabs you and he takes you. And you don't have a choice. You have to go with him. You have to go with him. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, judgment. The person who brought you to the playground will come back for you. Yeah. And he will come in his time, not your time. Do you see how sometimes when you go up to pick, when you go, I'm sure Hazel, when you go and pick your kids up from their playground, they don't want to come. Even sometimes they don't want to go home from church. Yeah. But you see, the fact that you are not ready to do it doesn't matter. It's the one who brought you whose time matters. Yeah. So, Lord, I'm really enjoying myself here. So what? Let's go now. Yes. So you see, sometimes people die in the prime of their lives. Yeah. Sometimes you hear of people dying. Just I heard about the bridegroom who died. He got married Saturday. He died on Monday. Yeah, his wedding was Saturday and he died on Monday. Yeah, because it's not by your wedding. Your wedding is not what determines the time. The one who brought you, when he is ready to leave the field, that's when you leave. That is why we must please him. Have some labor in the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, our labor is not in vain. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close today. Hallelujah. Bow your heads, everybody, with me, and let us pray. Today is a good day to reevaluate and assess your relationship with God and ask yourself, where do I stand with God? Where do I stand with God? Today is a good day for that. Where do I stand with God? If the one who brought you here to this playground of the earth decides that it's time to go back, will you be ready to go? Or will you be like one of those kids crying and wishing that you didn't have to go? Or will you go gladly with him, knowing that you're going even to a better place? That after this playground, what is waiting for us is an even more glorious existence. He said there are terrestrial bodies and there are celestial bodies. There is more glory ahead of us, more glory waiting for us. And God is asking us today, are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? Are you ready to meet him? Are you ready to meet God? I want everybody just have a private time this afternoon. Just close your eyes and just observe a moment of privacy and just ask yourself sincerely this question and ask yourself, am I ready to meet God? My life the way it is, am I ready to meet God? Or am I so excited about the things I'm seeing around me that I've forgotten that someone brought me here and that person will be picking me up again. That person will come back for me at some point. At some point, I'm going to have to leave this playground. And will I be ready? Will I be ready? Will I be ready? Oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The proper way to be ready is to accept what Jesus did for us. That he died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. That he was buried, but on the third day he rose again as the first fruit, the first example of what will happen to all of us someday. And that rising from the dead was for your redemption. It was to redeem you and to put you in the position to be able to say, yes, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. You have saved me from my sins. You have saved me from my sins. You died to wash me from my sins. To wash me, to make me clean. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to give everybody an opportunity today. Number one, to give your life to Christ. And number two, to rededicate your life to Christ. if you have given your life to Christ before. I want to give you that opportunity. Today is a good day to do that for everybody, because Christ died, was buried, and he rose again as a message to all of us that one day, on a day which you do not know, at a time you do not know, in fact, none of us knows even how close we are to it. None of us knows how close we are to it. It is prudent to prepare. It is wise to prepare. So I want everybody today just to think about your life and think about yourself and ask yourself, where do I stand with the Lord? Where do I stand with the Lord? Where do I stand with the Lord? And today is a good day to fix that relationship. Today is a good day to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. It is a good day to say, Lord, I have not lived like I should live. I have not lived like someone who has benefited from your sacrifice. I have not lived. Paul said, the grace that was bestowed on me was not in vain. But there are some of us today who cannot say that. You cannot say that for how gracious God has been to you. The life you have lived is consistent with someone who is grateful for such graciousness. But God is not condemning you, but rather God is giving you an opportunity for repentance. God is giving you an opportunity to fix that today in the name of Jesus. So I want everybody here today to say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus. I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you came from heaven to this earth, and you went to the cross because of me. That you didn't deserve to be on the cross, but for my sake you went to the cross. You went to the cross so I wouldn't have to go to the cross. Lord Jesus, you were buried, but on the third day you rose again that I might have life. You defeated what has conquered all humanity to show that you are Lord of all. Today I come to you with my life. I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my life to you. Say, oh God, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I need help. I can't make it on my own. There's so much weakness in this flesh. Oh God, I come to you. I need Christ. I need Christ to be resurrected in me. I need Christ to be resurrected in me. I need Christ to give me that same victory. Victory over sin. Victory over unrighteousness. Victory over backsliding. Victory over the things that easily bring me down. Oh God, I need Jesus. Come into my heart, Lord. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me. Let your blood heal me. And let your blood deliver me. Jesus, I make you this promise. on Resurrection Sunday, that I will be steadfast. That if you help me, I promise to be steadfast and unmovable. And Lord, I will always, always, no matter what is going on in my life, I will always find room for you and for your work. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? How many are glad you came to church today? This Resurrection Sunday is a new day. It's a new beginning in your life. Hallelujah. All things are passed away. It's a new day in your life. New things are going to happen in your life. Hallelujah. Now, before we go today, I want to lead us in a prayer. Amen. You know, last Friday we were watching that program from the Independence Square from Ghana, and we're watching this anointed prayer that Bishop prayed over the church. Hallelujah. And some of you were not here, but I want, for the sake of those who were not here, and even for those who were here, to be prayed for again. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want that prayer to be, you know, prayed over us again as we get ready to come to the Lord's table. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I just wanted to share, you know, that prayer was broadcast around the world. I mean, it was on the internet, and there are so many testimonies that people have been sharing as they, let me just read one of them to you. One of them, just listen, just keep standing and listen to me. It says, I write to share a testimony on my mom being healed of waist pains right after the Good Friday communion. It says, she was at home listening to it live on Sunny FM, that's a radio station, when she got her healing. And the person says, thanks be to God. Amen. The next one I have is from Dakar. Dakar is in Senegal. Wow. It says, the miracle happened as they watched the Good Friday service live. It says, deafness was healed this evening. As Bishop prayed, I was believing God to heal me from deafness for about 17 good years. I couldn't hear from my right ear. But after the prayer, I felt the healing power of God in my right ear. Now I can hear. Wow. Now, this person is from the Netherlands. The person said, my dear man of God, I am a child of God, a resident of the Netherlands for the past 16 years. I recently started experiencing watery sounds in my belly. I watched you on Good Friday miracle meeting. Early this morning, I had a dream where a bottle was extracted from my belly. I know I'm healed. Thank you so much, sir, for loving God and also for preaching Christ and for answering the call. Hallelujah. Then another person from Cameroon. The person said, Bishop, you won't believe what happened today at our Good Friday healing miracle service. He said, 5 people received their healing. 1 person who couldn't see things far away. Another person who had a headache. 2 people who had chest pains. And 1 person who had stomach pain. All received their healing. But then he says, the greatest miracle was when the guys and girls in a wee house, those people who smoke weed, right? Some guys and girls in a wee house, he says, they all smoke all sorts. They all decided to come to church. He said, I have been taking 2 of them to church. Today, 8 of them came on their own. Hallelujah. I just want you to know that in the realm of the spirit, there's nothing like distance. Do you understand? Or rather, I should say that distance in the realm of the spirit is not the same as distance in the physical realm. In the physical realm, when someone is far away, he's far away and has no influence over you. Do you understand? But in the spiritual realm, even when someone is far away, he can be very close. And when someone is close, he can still be very far away spiritually. Hallelujah. So these prayers, even though they are prayed over the internet and prayed on video and so on, if you connect to it by faith and believe, I believe that a miracle can happen in your life. I believe that a miracle can happen in your life. Hallelujah. So we're going to watch that prayer and we're going to pray together with it. Amen. But I want you to have your communion. Amen. So I'm going to give everybody one of this. Let's make this quick. I'll put more here. Okay, so give one to the people on this side and give the other one to the people on that side, right? And just take one, everybody. We're going to have communion, and after that, do you have the thing ready? Right? Okay. So we're going to have our communion, and after the communion, Jason. I need one, you know. Thank you. Hallelujah. Make sure everybody has one. Everybody has one. Today you must not miss the communion. Hallelujah. Listen to this other testimony while you're getting ready for your communion. This person says, "We say this to the glory of God that He has healed our niece. She was admitted to the hospital on Thursday because she had taken several medications and drips, but wasn't getting any better. Apparently because there was a serious infection in her blood. That Thursday morning, her temperature was so high that no antibiotic was able to make her better. She wasn't able to eat, talk. She was just weak and inactive. On Friday, the whole family was disturbed as the situation had not improved. Then in the evening, while at the hospital, I told her mother to tune in to the radio station and put it on loudspeakers so they partake of the communion. So the mother got biscuit and water and did as Bishop Dagg instructed. At the time, Bishop was praying before the communion. At the time Bishop was praying before the communion, she wasn't talking and was still inactive. But after she took the blood and body of Jesus, she started declaring the blessings which were pronounced by Bishop and saying amen to his prayers. Right after, she said she was hungry. She emptied a big bowl of rice and ate chicken chips, drank, and gave a loud belch. Indeed, there is life in the blood of Jesus. The person says, "Thank you, Bishop." Hallelujah. Today, I want you to receive communion as one who is receiving medicine for your life. One who is receiving power for your life. God is bringing something supernatural into your life. Something unusual is being downloaded into your life through this communion. Hallelujah. So take the bread with me and say the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. you may eat it. Then take the wine. Take the wine and say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. You may drink it. Now I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. And we're going to ask. We're going to have Bishop pray over us. This is a very important moment. And I want everybody to tune in with faith. Connect to it in the name of Jesus. Right. So can you just turn it on now and let us pray together.
Lift your hand for your blessing.
Lift your hand. Just raise the volume, please.
Bless the church, Lord. Bless your children, Lord. Bless them with healing. Everything that will cause you to be admitted in the hospital is canceled today in Jesus' name. You will never lie down in a hospital bed in the name of Jesus. Receive healing for your liver. Receive healing for your kidney. Receive healing for your eyes. Receive healing for your mind. Whatever makes you cry, whatever makes you afraid, whatever makes you sick, I cast it today in the name of Jesus. Receive the power of God in your life. God is setting you free from the spirit of death. You will not die when Satan wants you to die. Rather, I declare life has entered into you. Receive a blessing. Receive a blessing of health. Whoever is called barren here, a year from now, you'll be declaring your testimony. Whatever desire you have for your health, receive perfect and absolute healing. No more money of yours will be spent on doctors and medicines. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are declared healed from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Peace comes into your life. Whatever is threatening your life, whatever is threatening to take you out of this life, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing by the power of the Holy Ghost. In the mighty name of Jesus, receive long life. You celebrate 50 years. You celebrate 40 years. You celebrate 60 years. You celebrate 30 years. You celebrate 70 years. You celebrate 80. You celebrate 90. Long life is coming to you. You celebrate 100 years. Receive in the name of Jesus. Whatever operation has been scheduled for your life, in the name of Jesus, I declare it is no longer necessary. The power of God is entering into your life permanently today in the name of Jesus. Every visit to the hospital, always, always going, always coming, always going. Receive deliverance from visiting hospitals in Jesus' name. Now, any blessing and healing and miracle you hear, you must say amen. Now, he said his life will be in you. I declare the plague of poverty is taken away from your life today. Tonight marks the end of begging and asking and needing people to help you. Receive God's blessing on your financial situation today. Receive miracle jobs in the next 1 year. God gives to you miracle jobs, good jobs, stable jobs, stability in your life in Jesus' name. Somebody here, you have lost favor, but I declare God is restoring favor to you in the name of Jesus. Whatever favor you have lost, receive a restoration of that favor. Receive your promotion in the name of Jesus. I declare the release of many millionaires and prosperous people out of this congregation.
Can I hear you say amen? Can I hear you say amen? You become an employer of many people. You become an employer of many people. And God lifts you up. All uncertain riches, riches associated with debts and mortgages, I command a release from debts and confusion and mortgages tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. You are free from debts. You will no longer be haunted by people that you owe. I declare you genuinely prosperous by the power of the Holy Ghost in the mighty name of Jesus. And now, lift your hand and receive divine protection. Any type of accident, by land, by sea, water, by air, any type of freak accident, unfortunate incident, you are delivered from it in Jesus' name. I command your divine convoys of angels to be around you. You are protected. You will live and not die in the name of Jesus. Every armed robbery attack against you, I curse it in Jesus' name. You are surviving every type of attack against your life in Jesus' name. You are safe. Your house is safe. The angel of the Lord shall encamp around your house. You are experiencing your breakthrough and your blessing. In the coming year, you will hear the word congratulations. Receive good news and victory in every circumstance. Your family, there will be congratulations. Your marriage, there will be congratulations. Your children, there will be congratulations. Your finances, there will be congratulations. Receive good news in the name of Jesus Christ. I command the angels of the Lord to bring good news to you throughout the whole of this year up till next year. Lift your hand and thank God for victory in your life. Every area of your life, you are declared victorious. You are the first and not the last. You are declared to have the upper hand in every situation. Father, thank you for your power. Thank you for your blessing for your children. Thank you that we are going out of this place with your power over our lives. Divine security, convoys of angels and blessings and healing for your people. Thank you that we are going to dwell in you and you in us. As we have received this communion, we have received you, your life, the kind of life that you have. Whatever wickedness is determined against us, we thank you that we overcome it by your plow, by your blood, and by your power. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Put your hand on your heart. Receive your healing right now. Whatever makes you worried, I curse it. Whatever makes you anxious, I curse it. Receive healing. Every heart attack against you, I rebuke it. Every sudden death, I curse it. Every sudden bad news and tragic news against your family, against your home, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. There shall be no bad news from your children or from anyone that is belonging to you and to your household. In the name of Jesus Christ, let God's power come into your life. You are receiving healing. You are receiving God's blessing. You are going out of this place a blessed child. God's power is over your life. God's healing is over your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lift your hands right now. As your hands are lifted up, thus says the Lord, surrender to Him. Surrender your life to Him. Bow yourself to Him. Give Him your life, and He will take your life and make it into a wonder. People will read of you and see of you what great things God has done in your life. Receive God's greatness as you surrender yourself. God's blessing and God's power over your life. Whatever cuts you down, whatever reduces you and mocks you, all your mockers will envy you next year. All those that laugh at you will turn their mouth around and wish they were you in the name of Jesus. Because you have surrendered your life to Him. You shall serve him and he shall bless you. The coming year shall be the best year ever in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever you cannot see, I see someone blinded. You cannot see your blind spots. God is opening your eyes. Receive the spirit of wisdom. Receive the spirit of knowledge. Receive the spirit of understanding. Whatever confusion there is in your life, hey, receive wisdom. Receive light. Receive understanding. God is blessing you, giving you light. Light, receive light. For your blind spot, what you can't see, what you don't know, what you don't understand, receive light. Receive light and direction. Direction. Receive direction for your life. I pray for direction. Angel of the Lord, show the way. Through the desert, he shall lead you. Through the rocks, he shall lead you. Hey, through the wilderness, he shall take you. Bringing you to a good place, a good pasture, a green place, a better place, a higher place. Receive the blessing of the Lord. For he is guiding you by his power. He is guiding you by his angel. He is guiding you by his spirit. What lies ahead for you is good. The blessing that has been upon this ministry that have brought us to this place, receive it now for your personal life. Receive it now for your personal life. Your personal life will be a reflection of God's blessing. Your personal situation will be a reflection of God's blessing in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. All those who mock at you, all those who make fun of you, all those who laugh at you, your mockers will turn into those that celebrate you. They will mention your name and say, God has been good to this one. We never expected. God has been gracious. Let his favor be with you. Your funeral is not this year. Your funeral is not next year. Your funeral is not coming now. God is giving you life and extending your days. He's extending your days. He's giving health into your body and life. There are many things for you to do for God. Receive life and strength. Receive life and strength. Receive life and strength at the back, at the side, in the balconies. Wherever you are, receive life. Receive strength. Receive God's power. God has many things for you to do. You shall live and declare the works of the Lord. You shall not die before your time. Whatever it is that cuts life short, that makes you to be like a partridge that sit upon the egg but never to hatch it, I declare it cast in the name of Jesus Christ. You shall stand and say, I have seen what I tried to do. God has helped me and God has blessed me. I've seen the end of it. Blessing of the Lord is upon you. And now I see enlargement. Receive enlargement and growth. Whatever your hand does is getting bigger. It's getting more blessed. It's getting larger in your hand. The help of God is causing things to flourish in your life. It is being blessed. It is being watered. God is watering it. God is blessing it. Receive the blessing of watering and enlargement of all that you set your hand to do in the name of Jesus Christ. A little one shall become a thousand. A small one shall become a strong nation. For I, the Lord, have spoken it. I've declared it. It shall come to pass. You who seem little amongst us, you shall be mighty ones. You who seem to be nobodies, that says the Lord, the students shall rise up, the little ones shall become mighty in the nation, mighty in the land. God raises you up to do great things. According to these words, it shall come to pass. Now lay your hands on your head. Receive the covering of the Lord. Ah, the Lord is my refuge. My God is my refuge. I shall fear no evil. A thousand may fall by my side, 10,000 by my right hand, but it will not come near you in the name of Jesus. You are covered. You are protected from the arrows of the enemy, from the spears of wickedness, from your hometown, from wherever it is coming from. The spears of the enemy cannot penetrate you, cannot pierce you, but God has covered you. He's your shield. He's your fortress. He's your buckler. He's your protector. Receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now lift your hand and thank him. Something that you have been desiring for years, in the coming year, you will lay hands on it and you'll be surprised. You desire, you imagine, you dream, but you've never seen it. This year, you will see it. This year, you will see it. This is your year to see what you have been dreaming about, imagining, having visions and praying about. This is your year for the answers. to your prayers in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lift your hand and thank God right now. Everyone, thank God personally for what He is giving you. You will have a child this year. God will answer, open the doors for you this year. The blessing of the Lord is upon you now. Father, thank you. Thank you tonight. Thank you tonight in this Independence Square. Many things have been done here, but tonight, angels ascend with our prayers, and angels descend with blessings in this square.
Thank
you for your power that is released in this place.
Thank you,
in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give Him thanks, everybody. Just give God thanks. Give God thanks. Give God thanks. Give God thanks. Just give God thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Clap your hands for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Do you believe in that prayer? Whatever you're doing is getting larger in your hands. Hallelujah. People are going to get jobs. Jobs that bring prosperity. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. And you'll see it in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.